From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're happy that you've joined us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua. Chapter 7 recounts Israel's defeat at the city of Ai, a disaster brought about by the sin of one man, Achan. Returning to this chapter, Dr. Cairns takes another look at this man whose greed ultimately destroyed himself and his family. In the course of a message entitled, Dealing with Our Achans, Dr. Cairns applies the sin of Achan to the lives of God's people, showing how a single sin, embraced and unconfessed, can halt progress in the Christian life. God calls his people to lives of well-rounded holiness. No area of life is exempt from the command to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. May the Lord give us hearts that are sensitive and obedient to his word. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in John chapter 10 and verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. The Christian should never think or speak lightly of unbelief. For a child of God to mistrust his love, his truth, his faithfulness, must be greatly displeasing to him. How can we ever grieve him by doubting his upholding grace? Christian, it is contrary to every promise of God's precious word that thou shouldst ever be forgotten or left to perish. If it could be so, how could he be true who has said, Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I never forget thee. What were the value of that promise? The mountain shall depart, and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Where were the truth of Christ's words? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Where were the doctrines of grace? They would be all disproved if one child of God should perish. Where were the veracity of God, his honor, his power, his grace, his covenant, his oath, if any of those for whom Christ has died and who have put their trust in him should nevertheless be cast away? Banish those unbelieving fears which so dishonor God. Arise, shake thyself from the dust, and put on thy beautiful garments. Remember, it is sinful to doubt his word, wherein he has promised thee that thou shalt never perish. Let the eternal life within thee express itself in confident rejoicing. The gospel bears my spirit up. A faithful and unchanging God lays the foundation for my hope in oaths and promises and blood.
Thank you.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Today I want to look once again at the story of Achan. We have considered this in a couple of ways, but today I want to take a completely different look at Achan. I want to consider the whole body of the people of God, that is Israel, with Achan as one member. I want to consider it as the picture of an individual Christian. I want you to keep that in mind for all that's to follow. Looking at Israel with Achan as a member, we want to think in picture form of the individual Christian with a diseased member. And the simple truth that I want to point out, something that's very much on the surface of Scripture, but I think we do well to ponder deeply, is that as the progress of the entire nation was halted by sin in one member, so the progress of a Christian is halted by sin in one member. Now, that's the truth that I want us to consider today. And I want us, therefore, to take a look again at this passage in the light of all Scripture and come to the great subject of dealing with our Achans. Now, with that brief introduction, I want us to think, first of all, of this truth, that God calls us to a well-rounded holiness that affects every part of us and every part of our lives. Israel was not commanded to be generally holy, mostly holy, or partly holy. When the armies of Israel went in to capture the city of Jericho, the Lord gave a commandment that reached to every individual soldier. There was a call to an obedience that was particular and all-embracing. Each member of that body of men going into battle had to be aware. God said, "Thou shalt not take of the accursed thing, because if you do, you yourself will be accursed of God. You will come under sentence of death." So this was a command to universal holiness throughout all the ranks of the armies of Israel. And in similar fashion, you and I are not called to be merely holy in a general sort of way, but we are called to be holy in a very specific way. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. If I could give the literal force of his words, he says, "We should cleanse ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, that's a statement of obligation. It's a statement of the divine will. It's a statement that every Christian must take the deepest regard for. We should cleanse ourselves from every defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, that is something that is so general and yet so particular that every part of our life is included. The personal life is included. Our thought life is included. Our home life is there. Our church life, our business life, the seen life, and the secret life. Every part of the Christian's life is included in that divine obligation. We should cleanse ourselves from every defilement in every part of life, whether relating to flesh or to spirit. When you look at the Bible, you will see that every member of the body is included. That's not to say that sin is merely physical, but the Scripture uses the members of the body, first of all, as the physical instruments whereby we commit sin or we pursue holiness. But also it uses the physical members of the body to remind us of the motions of the will that lie behind them. For example, we are told that we should not yield, as we read in Romans 6:13 this morning, our members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. He says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. He talks about our hands. Now, our hands speak of our actions or of our deeds. And we are to be holy in all our actions. And Paul speaks of Christians lifting up holy hands unto God without wrath or doubting. These are to be hands that in all their actions are marked by biblical holiness. The apostle told the Thessalonians to study to be quiet and do your own business and work with your own hands as we commanded you. James told the Christians to whom he was writing to draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And he said, cleanse your hands. If you're going to draw nigh to God, then you must have clean hands and a pure heart. The actions of the Christian are to be actions of holiness. That's why the Lord Jesus said, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. So he speaks about our hands. I don't have time this morning to go through the Scripture and show you the various things that the Christian's hands are supposed to do. Generally, we can say that our hands are to work purity. They are to serve the Lord with power. What is that in thine hand? That's the question the Lord asked Moses, and he asks you and me. What is that in thine hand? Sometimes he finds there things that ought not to be there. He finds in our hands things which are unclean, ungodly, unspiritual, and unchristlike. Things that are hindering our service for God. Sometimes, as in the case of Moses, he finds there things that to us appear to be of very little moment, very little importance. Moses only had a stick in his hand. We come to the Lord so often, and our excuse is, I can't serve the Lord very well. I don't have much education. I don't have much talent. I don't have much ability. I have only this. The Lord says, what is it in your hand? And though it only be a stick, I can use it. That little rod in the hand of Moses became the most potent emblem of God's moving in the whole nation. So we are to serve the Lord with power. Those hands are to lift up the fallen. Those hands are to receive one another, as the Apostle Paul put it. So our hands are to be hands of holiness. Our feet are also to be marked with holiness. That's, of course, a reference to our walk. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Apostle John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, and he said that we are to walk worthy of the vocation of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on to tell them that we are to walk in love, and then we are to walk in light. Now, here is the holiness that's to mark the walk of a Christian in a dark and unclean world. If you're going to do the right thing, if you're going to walk in the right way, then you should pay attention to what the Bible says about the eyes of the godly man. The psalmist said in Psalm 101 and verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. Now, obviously, the reference there is I will develop no wicked purpose. I am not going to set an evil purpose before me. I'm to pursue it. But we can also see in those words something that goes to the very heart of much modern living. We live in a world in which we are bombarded with the images of wickedness and uncleanness and lasciviousness. And we are told that the purpose of the child of God is, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. So often God's people gaze and gaze and gaze again at the unclean, and then they wonder why they lose out with God. I always remember the words of the great Indian preacher Jordan Khan when he first came to Northern Ireland. And I had opportunity to hear him preach. I've often said that under God, that time changed my life and changed my ministry. One thing that he said was regarding this whole matter of the use of the eyes. He says, the first look, and he's talking now about seeing things that are wicked and unclean and ungodly. The first look may be innocent. We have no control over what comes before our eyes many times. But the second look is sin. That puts it very simply. Maybe puts it very severely. But is it any more severe than the words of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart? To look again, to look with lust on any sin is the commission of that sin in the sight of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.